You're listening to a sermon from Christian Life, the Island Church, in Orange Beach, Alabama. For more information, visit christianlifechurch.tv.
This morning, we're looking at Colossians chapter 2, and we're going to look at verses number 6 through 10. Verses 6 through 10. And we're looking at the way the Christian life is to be lived out. The Apostle Paul he's talking to a young church. He's helping them deal with some of the doctrines and messages that are undermining, heresies that are undermining to the Christian faith. We talk often. We preach the Bible. We sing about Jesus, and it's based on His Word. And there's a lot of various teachings, ideas, philosophies, homespun ideas, something that Grandma said that's no more the Word of God than a man in the moon, that people live by, that undermine. We live according to God's Word. And what Paul was doing was he was helping this church not to live by fantasy, but to live by faith, to live by the Word of God. And so he does something very unique in this passage of Scripture. He uses some different metaphors to explain what it means to be a Christ follower, what it looks like. And I think one of the reasons that he uses so many different metaphors is because the Holy Spirit knew that the tendency of mankind is to try to reduce God into a box. And he uses these different metaphors so that we see God in a variety, a kaleidoscope of ways. And we don't try to just pigeonhole him. And so he gives us different pictures of what Christ's following looks like. Most of us use metaphors to describe something. A metaphor is an expression comparing one thought to another thought using a verbal picture. Have you ever tried to think of that expression? You're trying to explain something and you get that metaphor mixed up. It's actually called a mixed metaphor. And sometimes when you do that, you know, you're trying to come up with, you know what it's like. They're trying to pull the wool over your eyes. But when you're trying to think of it, you can't quite think of it. And it's interesting, and all of us has probably chuckled at someone who has mixed metaphors. These are actual mixed metaphors that have been recorded that people have used. You're trying to pull my legs over my eyes. You've hit the nail on the jackpot. We'll be there till the fat lady freezes over. Once the toothpaste is out of the tube, it's too late to close the barn door. He's not the brightest bulb in the knife drawer. It's as easy as falling off a piece of cake. Keep your ear to the grindstone. How about this? You've buttered your bread, now lie in it. It looks like, or it's like looking for a needle in a hayride. Don't count your chickens until you see the whites of their eyes. And here's one for all the Star Wars fans. Obi-Wan Kenobi suggests metaphors be with you. A mixed metaphor is a faux pas, if you will. And what do mixed metaphors have to do with this Colossians passage? Well, the Apostle Paul doesn't mix his metaphors in the way that I've just illustrated, but he uses a variety of metaphors, and they're powerful pictures of the Christian life. So let's read this together. See if you can pick them out, then we'll just walk through it this morning. We'll look at four or five of them. Verse number 6, therefore, as you received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him, rooted, built up in him, established in the faith, just as you were taught, abounding in thanksgiving. See to it that no one takes you captive by philosophy and empty deceit, according to human tradition. What did we just talk about? Human tradition. Well, Grandma always said, but it wasn't based on the Word of God. It's just a thought. It's kind of, we've always done it that way. He said, listen, don't be led captive by philosophy, empty deceit, according to human tradition, according to the elementary spirits of the world. That's demonic spirits. Elementary, don't let that throw you there. The spirits of the world, not according to Christ, for in him the whole fullness of deity dwells bodily, and you have been filled in him, who is the head of all rule, head of all rule, and of all authority. I love the Word of God, don't you? Number one, let me just tell you this. I love Jesus. And I love his word. And it's so amazing how God illustrates for us. The Holy Spirit gives us insight through a simple passage like this that has what I believe is profound meaning. He gives us these pictures. Again, recognizing not one picture can ever truly paint who Jesus is and how we're to live, can never exhaust the riches and the depths of our relationship with him. So he gives us several pictures, metaphors in this passage that help us to have an understanding. So let's look at these metaphors, these powerful pictures of what Christ's following should look like. Number one is this. I want you to think of walking. Walking. Verse number 6 says, therefore, as you receive Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him. Now, when the Apostle Paul uses the word walk, he's referring to it. Now, we're going to use it as an illustration of keeping movement, of not standing still. There's a danger in just trying to maintain. The Christian life is to be engaging, and it's aggressive. It's moving forward. And so when the Apostle Paul uses this word to walk, he's describing, and I'm not crazy about this word, but let me use it anyway. I guess it helps us to understand. He's expressing lifestyle. The reason I hesitate at lifestyle is I think of this. We think of lifestyle of being, you know, a way that we live, the lifestyle of the rich and famous, and we see it as a materialistic thing. I'm not talking about a materialistic thing. When I talk about lifestyle, I'm talking about the way we live with a conviction and intentionality in the things of God. Our life is not a walk in the park, so to speak, but it is a walk of faith. Now, what happens is we are walking along in life, and as we're walking along by the grace and goodness of God, the message of Jesus, someone gives us a personal testimony, we're in a church service, someone shares, the gospel is preached, an opportunity to respond, we are walking not according to the Spirit, we're walking according to our flesh, we're walking according to this world, and all of a sudden, we're impacted, we're convicted, we're convinced, and we give our life to Jesus as Savior and as Lord, and all of a sudden we're walking in one direction, we meet Christ, and what happens? We're walking in another direction. It's the walk of salvation, if you will. It's the walk of faith. It is engaging. It's on purpose. Think about this. When you're walking, do you know that walking is actually risky business? Walking is really an act of faith. What you do is you lean forward and you fall. Walking is a perpetual falling. You fall onto that foot, and you fall onto that foot, and you fall onto that foot. There's momentum. When you walk for Christ, listen, you keep moving. You keep stepping and falling into Jesus and stepping and falling into Jesus. It's intentional. It's purposeful. It's an act of faith, but you walk with Jesus. Somebody say amen. It's been a fascinating year for Liz and I, having our first grandchild and going through various phases. When he's just a toddler or just a baby, just oohing and awing, and then he moves into the crawling stage. And I kept saying, you guys got to video this, because he doesn't crawl conventionally. He had a funky thing he'd do with that leg. And then he starts walking. And I mean, he would fall, but then he'd get right back up, bounce down, bounce up. When he first started walking on the beach, he could hardly do it. Now, he runs on that beach. Fascinating. In Christ, same way as a baby, we're learning to walk in Christ. Do we ever fall? Yes, but we get back up. We go slow, but then we get to the point that we are able to go in Christ. It's walking. Paul is saying, as you've received Christ, so walk. Some people think walking's boring. My dad was always very athletic. And that's where my competitive spirit came from. It's the thing that really kept us together through some volatile years, was our love of competition, baseball, basketball, football. Really anything that we did. And I'll never forget the day that I called my dad. I said, hey, Dad, what are you doing? He said, I just finished walking. And I was kind of sad, because he always ran. But he's not running anymore. He's walking, and he's like, oh, don't be sad for me. He was moving. The Christian life, let me tell you, it's not a sprint. We even hear about it being a marathon, but let me tell you what it takes. It takes a continual walking. There's something about walking that we observe more. We're more conscious of everything going on around us. The reason we miss God so much is because we're so busy or we're going so fast, and if we would just walk. You know, it's like this. If you're in an airplane, it's awesome. You see the big picture. You can see everything that's around. Fascinating to see from the height of an airplane. But then also, think about this. When you drive by something, how about driving through a neighborhood? Then maybe you have an open-air Jeep or even a motorcycle and you drive that neighborhood. You see it just a little better. What about if you're riding your bicycle? Riding your bicycle, you even see it a little bit more. I got Liz a bicycle for Christmas. Luke and I have been riding bikes the last year and a half or so. And we're planning a 10-day bike trip on the Natchez Trail this year. Going to camp out, and we're looking forward to that. But Liz said she wanted a bike, so I got her a bike. So we've been riding bikes together, having a blast going through the state park. We were over by the fire department area, and we cut through a little neighborhood there. And as we go by, we're just going through the neighborhood, and we're just kind of going slow and talking and figuring out where we're going to go down to the cut through. If we're gonna go across and down toward the rec center, or if we're gonna go back to the right and go back around through the park, talking. And I look over, and I see a man and a wife, and they're kind of messing around in the back of a minivan. And there's a kid that is holding a Rottweiler. And that Rottweiler looked at us, and I looked at him, and that kid couldn't hold him, and here he came. And apparently his name is Mike, because they were yelling, Mike, 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 Mike. And I'm saying, Liz, get over. And I'm trying to get my bike in front of Liz, and I'm trying to get my leg over the bike, and Mike is right there. When he decides to stop and go back, and they're like, we're sorry, we're so sorry, we're so sorry. They said, it's the tires. And Liz goes to me, she goes, what does him being tired have to do with anything? I said, baby, he's not tired, it was the tires, okay? You ride your bike, you see things a little bit different. If you walk, guess what? You see it even totally different, even more different. Hello? Have you ever walked by a piece of property? You drove by it, and you thought, well, that's not very big. That house isn't real big, or that yard's not real big. But when you walk by it, you go, wow, you see a whole lot more. The Christian faith is not one of simply flying over. Yes, we need to have vision and see things from God's perspective. And it's not just running by it quickly, but it's learning to walk. Steps in discipleship, walking in discipleship. What happens? First steps, we're born again. Steps in baptism. Steps in church membership. Steps in the Holy Spirit. Steps of faith, learning to walk in the Spirit. If we walk in the Spirit, we don't fulfill the lust of the flesh. We've got to walk according to the Spirit. Keeps us from fulfilling the pull of the world, lust of the eyes, lust of flesh, pride of life. And so the Christian life, listen to me, the Christian life is, it's not one of coasting. It's not this. You know, there. People movers, when Luke and I were in Qatar, it's a beautiful, fascinating, spectacular airport. And we had a long way to go for one of our gates, and they had these massive people movers, bigger than the ones in Denver. If you've been in Denver, they've got a lot of people movers. Too many Christians are always looking for easy ways, looking for a free ride, free loader. Looking to just stand on the people mover of life. No. Following Christ is about walking according to his word. Walking in the Spirit. One step of faith. Falling into Jesus. Falling into Jesus. Are you with me this morning? Amen? Amen. So, continue to put one foot in front of the other. Walking in the Spirit. Now, there's an old proverb that says this: don't change horses in the middle of the stream. But that's exactly what Paul does. Paul turns around. He goes from walking, and watch this. In Colossians 2 and verse 7, rooted and built up in him, established in faith as you were taught, according to thanksgiving. He goes from a walking metaphor to a horticulture metaphor. He goes from from walking in faith to letting our roots to being established. It sounds like a contradiction, but growing and roots implies movement as well. There's efforts and energy, and we're learning to be rooted. No singular metaphor can do justice to the richness of the variety of Christian living. So it's walking, and then it's being rooted. Jesus talked about this. The parable of the sower. He spoke of some people's lives. It's like they're planted, but they're in shallow soil, and the heat comes down, and then all of a sudden, troubles of life, and they wither up. They start out loving God, but they're not walking. They're not consistent. They're not being discipled. They're not becoming rooted. For a plant to really thrive, it must have a strong root system. I'll never forget the first time I was driving along in we lived in California, and I was driving up a hill toward the church, and I look up and I saw something coming at me down the road, and I'm trying to think, what is it? And it's the first time that I ever live saw a tumbleweed. And what came to mind was, man, I live in the wild, wild west. A tumbleweed doesn't have a deep root system. And when the winds come, it quickly dies, it blows away, and then it's just this big pile of brush, and it just goes wherever the wind blows it. What Paul's talking about when he talks about being rooted is he's talking about depth. He's talking about being mature in faith. Now let me say this to you. Age does not dictate one's spiritual maturity. I've seen people in church for years and years and years, and they're the same gossip, and they're the same backbiter, and they're the same crusty, angry, disgruntled person they've always been. Even though they've been in the church for 50 years, they don't have a root system. Easily offended. So age doesn't equate to maturity. How many years you've been in the church? Let me tell you something else. Financial success does not equate to spiritual maturity. Just because someone has a lot of money doesn't mean they're spiritually mature. And what we do in the church is we tend to think, they've been in the church a long time, or they've got a lot of money, therefore they are mature. No. Spiritual maturity has to do with our roots going deep into the Lord. Not being like a tumbleweed. See, Paul confronted this situation back in Ephesians when we studied Ephesians, and he talked about Christians that are blown around by every wind of doctrine. There are people that change churches every time something new, something that what they perceive more exciting, or they perceive that, well, it's like the guy I told you about that visited you. So I asked him where he went to church, and he said, I really don't go to church. My ministry is to go around to various churches. I think I shared this with you a few weeks ago, and I told him, I said, well, you're sure not doing a whole lot to build the church. I'm glad that people in my church don't have that ministry. I need people that are rooted, committed to the church, that believe in the church, believe in missions, believe in the miracles of God, believe in consistency, that'll be here day in. Aren't you thankful? Are you glad your pastor shows up to church? Well, I'm sure glad you show up to church. It takes commitment to it. Where's pastor today? Oh, he just didn't feel like coming. Where were you? Well, just had company show up. Well, Lord, I've had company show up 30 years. I've never missed church because of it. Well, we were sick. I've been sick off and on in 30 years of pastoring. I don't miss church because I'm sick. I'm talking about some roots, some commitment that goes deep. Somebody say amen. Now, not everybody likes that. I understand. And you'll tumbleweed off to somewhere else. I get it. But I thank God there's a remnant of folks that believe in being rooted and committed to God and to His church, and that believe together we can do more than we can on our own. There's something about roots, faithfulness, involved in ministry, giving, inviting people to come to my church. We need roots that go deep. There's a tree in South Africa. It's a fig tree. You can Google it. It'll pop up. Do it when you get home. The roots go down 400 feet. Goes deep. We understand palm trees. Palm trees have a fascinating root system. Have you ever dug one up? I encourage you, hire someone to do it. We had a business down the road that said they would give us a whole bunch of Seiko palms. So I thought, boy, we'll save the church some money. That was one of the dumbest ideas I've ever had in my life. Lord, we even had a kid get hurt. Family quit coming to church over a Seiko palm. I'm telling you, they're of the devil. Stay away from those things. No, that root system, even when a hurricane comes, it was unique that these palm trees down here at the wharf snapped. Must have been a unique wind, because palm trees don't snap. They bend. You know what? When we have a root system and the winds of life come, we bend, but we don't break. Come on. Amen. There's a root system. There's a commitment that goes deep. And Paul, in using these metaphors, is explaining to us what the Christian life is to look like. And he says, listen, it's walking, and it's one of a tree. It's rooted. What does the scripture say? Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the way of the sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. Blessed is the man who walks. Everybody say walks. So there's walking in that passage. And then watch this. His delight is in the law of the Lord. And in this law he meditates. That's the word of God. And he is like a tree planted by the streams that yields its fruit in season. Its leaf does not wither. And whatever he does shall prosper. Listen, in a world where there is a famine of righteousness, a famine of godliness, our roots are planted in him by the streams of living water, and in the midst of a famine of unrighteousness, there's a tree of righteousness. There's a tree of goodness. There's a tree of God that grows right in the middle of it. That's what he's called us to be. And so, metaphor of a tree. Let's look at one more this morning. How about this? How about a student? Rooted and built up in him, established in the faith, just as you were taught. Just as you were taught, abounding in thanksgiving. A student. It's a picture. No one picture does justice. What God has called us to do and be in being a Christ follower, he changes horses again in the middle of the stream, and he goes. It goes from walking to being a tree, to being rooted, to being a student. To being a student. When you go to school, you get a whole bunch of different textbooks. We're a student what? We're a student of the Word of God. We pour ourselves in. Thank God for the books that we're using, our Bible study that Liz is leading, and the women's that is teaching us to read the Word of God. Upstairs, we're watching a video and going through a book that's teaching us about prayer. But everything we're learning about the Word and everything we're learning about prayer is based. There's one ultimate book, and it's the Word of God. This is to be something that we love, that we pursue, that we read every Sunday. This service is carefully planned out. Great intention, great effort to what we're looking to accomplish. From the songs we sing to the message I preach, every Sunday you're going to hear and experience the truth of God revealed in Scripture. However, simply soaking God's word once a week will not transform your life. God has called us all to read His word, to be familiar with His word, so that when you are faced with life's circumstance and situation, that your view of what you should do does not come from a worldview, but it comes from a word view. That your view of life, your view of marriage. I'm amazed at how many Christians don't have a biblical view of the sanctity of life or the sanctity of marriage. And how we can get around and justify that is beyond me. It's because we've bought into a world system and we have a religious life. We need a word view, and we need to be walking and rooted and be a student of God's word. Someone say amen. So we make the right choices in our life, whether it be at work or at home or in our relationships. I encourage faithfulness in church. I encourage faithfulness and involvement in small groups, support groups, such as Celebrate Recovery, in our home groups, in our Bible studies, in our men's group, in our women's group, in our couples group. See, the answer to life is in the Word of God. The hope that we need to sustain when we get kicked in the gut, when we get our props knocked out from under us. Just because we are followers of Christ does not mean that we do not face storms and does not mean we do not suffer because of the decisions of others. So how are we going to react? This movie's a little bit older now. Back in 2003. And it's a movie that I'm intrigued by, and it seems like I get captivated every time it's on. It was on this weekend, I noticed. And I've seen it numerous times. I almost have it memorized. But it's the movie Castaway. And it's Tom Hanks plays a FedEx executive who survived and is stranded on an uncharted island, and he's there for several years. A few years ago at the Super Bowl, and of course the Super Bowl is a lot of people that are not football fans simply watch the Super Bowl for the commercials. There's some fascinating commercials. And there was a commercial about Castaway that was on during the Super Bowl. And in this commercial, Hanks' character delivers a FedEx package that washed up on the island that he brought back with him. The commercial goes a step further, and after he delivers the package, the castaway, Hanks, asks the recipient, "I always wondered what was in that package." Do you remember this commercial? He said, I always wondered what was in that package. Can you tell me?" Here was the response. "Nothing really," says the recipient. "Just a satellite phone, a GPS locator, a fishing rod, a water purifier, some seeds, and a lighter." Listen, as a Christ follower, everything we need in life is contained right here. And what happens is sometimes we live our island deserted life and we have the answer right there. We just don't open it. Hello? To be a student, the Word of God. My time is up this morning. Does this help anyone? Does this make sense to anyone today, being a Christ follower? There's more in this passage. We'll talk about it. Oh, Lord, thank you. Your Word is so amazing. Your Word teaches us, shows us how to live life and how to live it right. Father, I pray today that we'll not be on the people mover of life in the Christian world, that we'll not be a tumbleweed, that we'll not live life with the promises of God right at our fingertips, but yet we miss it all because we fail to open the most valuable gift that you've left with us, your Word. It's a lamp to our feet, light. We hide it that we might not sin. It builds faith, and without faith, it's impossible to please God. Everything I need. Lord, I pray for those this morning who are away from you, who are backslidden, who are not walking, who are not rooted, who are not students, maybe attending church, maybe not, but you know you are distant from God. And you know you need to rededicate or give your life to the Lord. And God's tugging at your heart. And this is your day to get right with God. And stop playing church. Stop just getting by. Stop going through the motions. And start being a Christ follower, walking, rooted, learning in the things of God. God's speaking to you today. You know my life is not right with God. My life. Listen, I could go through a kaleidoscope of things. I don't know why gossip, lying, selfish. I don't know why some of these things keep coming to mind. Maybe because it's human nature. But listen, it's time to get off your pity party and off of all the things that have happened to you and start living today, letting it go and living for God and walking with Him. Today's a day to commit yourself to say, listen, I'm going to be that Christ follower, and I'm going to be the Christ follower that Paul gives us right here, how to live and not be influenced by every wind of doctrine that comes along. Maybe it's lust. Maybe it's just plain old pride. I'm going to tell you this. Probably the biggest sin in this room today is pride. It was pride that caused Satan to fall, and it's pride that keeps people from one another, and it's pride that keeps people from God.